T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Yeah, he was back in like a week. Sort of like this turd box over here.
Wow. It starts.
It's only been a week.
The Chicago Wolves are making big plans for their 25th anniversary. Get your season tickets now and receive exclusive benefits. Visit ChicagoWolves.com or call 1-800-THE-WOLVES. Thanks to Vincent Goodwill, Jim Paschke, John Boogshambi for joining us today. The producers, Jay Zawoski, Rick Camp, and the executioner, Ray Diaz. Kevin Zipak had the updates. Tomorrow, Jeff Sullivan is going to join us, and we have more surprises, too. Joe Madden's got the week off because of the All-Star break, but we're going to do all kinds of fun and different things because this is the week where we can get even goofier than usual.
Yeah, be creative this week. I think that's the motto from Mitch, right? Just
on the other side of the glass!
Ready to light it up.
Now I'm getting like this feeling that I have to prepare my 5:30 Bears hint.
Tell us who practiced
right.
We can't say what you were then,
right?
Noah. We called you.
It's weird. I'm getting all worried. I'm going to have to put that voice act on the phone and get my Marantz out there and start cutting tape and make sure that the in cue and the out cue are just right so I don't get yelled at by Fat Mishman.
Do you still have your voice act out of Allied Electronics out of Richmond, Indiana? The only company in the country that manufactured those.
I've got to have it somewhere.
Yeah, you should.
I wouldn't know where it is, but I've got to, right? Somewhere.
I hope so.
It's not worth anything. Put it in the Radio Hall of Fame at some point. Yeah, right. Dan McNeil and Terry Bores, the erstwhile Heavy Fuel crew, reunited right in front of my face. It's special to look at. If I didn't actually have to look at it, I would say it's special to look at.
But, I wouldn't go that far.
Hey, buddy. How are you?
How are you, man? I mean, I think it's good. You know, I didn't get a chance to do this during the last show because there was so much going on, and I wasn't truly myself. I don't know who I was, but that guy was probably better than I am, but I mean, to you two guys, to the double Dan here, I think that people, you know, it became this thing like choosing sides in it, you know, this Dan versus that Dan. And let me tell you something, without both of them, not just one of them, without both of them, I'd have never made it to where I'm at right now.
That's the smartest thing you ever said in
your
life.
I know that. And that's the truest thing I've ever said, too. Everything else is just complete lies. And I'll do that for the next 5 hours as well. But that is true. Without you two guys, none of this happens. So, I mean, you know, you can say, oh, yeah, that guy was an idiot. That guy, I don't like him either. Now, you know, here's the thing. Doesn't matter what you think. It's what I think. And I know that I wouldn't be standing here today, and I wouldn't be. People would be actually happy to see me without Dan McNeil and Dan Bernstein.
That's very sweet of you.
I know that to be true.
It's very nice. And while you're saying that, I would also mention, too, that it is because you've sort of been the fulcrum in large part over low these many years that a lot of people have always thought, and I think you addressed this once during Can't Do It when I was sitting in the car and listening, Danny, that they say there's always been like this whole Bernstein McNeil thing. And sure, there's been occasional friction because both of us are, you know, we have strong feelings and egos sometimes, but I have to say, especially in this particular go round, people say, "What's McNeil like? What's the deal with you and him?" And
I said, "I get that all the time."
I always tell people, "There is no deal, especially at this stage of our adult lives." I've explained it to you, and I don't know if it's.
How about Connor? Any deal with him?
It's
a different thing. But
different
self hate.
People seem like almost disappointed when I say that Danny to me has been nothing but nice and welcoming and
welcome
helpful.
What's wrong with you?
We've laid down our weapons.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know. Maybe we're just too old to worry about it anymore.
We're both grateful to be employed. I think too.
Yeah, and alive.
I'm grateful not to be.
let alone employed.
I'm really grateful not to be at this point.
Boy, did you, your timing, dude. You have a knack for it.
I know.
You have a knack for it. You've got an understanding, whether it's the newspaper business or whatever.
Just one step ahead of the posse.
Wow.
You're just a half a step ahead of the posse.
Are you as happy as you seem?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You seem like a contented man.
I like doing nothing. There's a certain thing. I'm gonna stop doing nothing. Next year I'm going to do something again, and then there'll be a little extra thing I'm going to start doing as well. But I truly enjoy doing
total
nothing.
Total code.
It has nothing to do with radio or anything. It's just something that I'm going to do, and it's for free. It's not even a job. It's just something I want to do.
He's going to be the new head of officiating for the NFL.
I should be.
He's going to be doing the videos, explaining the calls. Look at this dumbass over here. I don't know. He might have dropped it. I don't know. My ass hurts.
Well, they still don't know. They spent the entire offseason. They still don't know.
Every video, every explanatory video, instead of Al Riveron, should be Terry just sitting in a lawn chair going, I don't know.
Dumb bastards. Right. Boy, I just.
The waters are going to get even muddier this year with the new helmet rules.
Oh,
and it's going to be very, very confusing. And it's
your game.
And I'll still love the game, but it's got its problems. And officiating probably not very high on the list, but I think when you watch on Sundays, it's high on the list because you're frustrated by it.
And you're done watching Bears? You're going to stick to that.
I pretty much stuck to it. I had the kids over, the producers over for a Sunday, and that was the first time I'd watched the Bears.
Uh-huh.
And it was the Ravens game. It's a romping Bears victory, and I really don't want to watch the Bears. is that a bad thing? Is that awful?
No.
Why?
I'm not interested. I've got my not interested sign out. Not interested. I just don't.
Is it an organizational thing still?
No. I don't know. I mean, you know, that hasn't changed. I mean, that's always been the same kind of turd formation. But no, that's not it.
We'll never forget the way you drilled the day.
That's not it. It's just kind of a unless there's something that I've suffered some kind of a brain trauma that I don't. I mean, the whole thing just makes me kind of. It doesn't. I watch a game and I say, why did I just do that?
When they go 3-13, but if you're...
But they're not going to go 3-13.
No, not... Why, right. No. They may win 5 or 6 this year and it's a good year.
I'll take the over.
Explain that one.
I'll take the over on that.
I would too.
I probably will too, but I don't know.
I don't know where they're coming from. Don't make me actually find them on the schedule. I say that abstractly.
Is there.
But don't make me pick those wins out that I actually would have to predict. I just feel like they need to be better.
Isn't that something you're supposed to do as soon as the schedule comes out?
Absolutely.
A win.
The moment it comes out.
Win, all wins.
16-0, my friends.
And it opens up on Thursday?
I have a lot of disdain for the organization. Now, with change, I'm trying to let go of that and start fresh. But the top rung is still a guy who I think is an evil person, and I think
evil.
It's difficult for me to get behind him. But when you feel that way, and they go 3-13, it can be very rewarding. It can be satisfying. Yeah. You picked the Baltimore game; that was a road win.
Yes, it was.
You know,
and a romp.
Yeah, take the Eagles game. If you don't like the Bears, that was a fun game this past year.
There's just something about a Sunday that's to yourself that I value more than I do watching football. Does that make sense?
I'm by myself, but I'm with football.
Well, I get it.
Connor's got the schedule up. Packers, Seahawks, Cardinals, and Bucks for the first month.
There's two.
And then a bye in week 5, which means the fall brawl in Canada. I can squeeze a little second trip.
Ooh, that's cold.
Not that bad. Although I was there on October 12, 2 years ago, and it snowed. I was there for the first snow in Canada. But that's okay if you're catching fish. And Beth caught a fish. Congratulations.
Well, she had it on.
She
didn't land it.
She didn't get it in the boat.
It was close, but it jumped off at the end, and I felt bad. And I said, see, now you know the feeling. Now you know you got to stay on the water till we get you one. And she's like, no, I'm good.
That'll do it.
She said, I'm good.
She's like Terry and the Bears. I'm done.
Yeah. So she fished for about as long as Boards did when we were at the Jordanelle Reservoir in Salt Lake City. But the difference is Terry didn't go. He didn't go back to the dock and want to go read or watch TV. He just sat in the boat and watched me throw rattle traps most of the day.
That's
what I caught the pike on.
That's a good bait to catch. Northern pike will eat a beer can, though, if you put hooks on it.
I bring a lot of those when I go fishing, to be honest.
Yes.
That's my part-time. That's how I do it.
I forgot about that day of fishing with you. That was quite something.
hit me in the head with one of those three-quarter ounce rattle traps.
And I think you went out on a fish fest once. You were on.
I went always on fish fest. Yeah, for sure.
Everybody else is throwing up, and you were there catching lake trout or whatever you were doing.
Yeah, I caught a few, and I also was throwing up. I had a bad thing going on ever since the first time we went out. Remember,
with Steve Deercup.
Yep.
And that's what you called the little thing that you put the rod butt in, the belt around. He called it a deer cup. Yeah, that was the name of our charter boat captain, Steve Deercup.
I thought he invented it.
He gets a king salmon and he goes, hold on a second. I got to put the belt on and put the rod in my deer cup. That's so Terry, isn't it? My deer cup.
And you know what I did? Here's the dumbest thing you can possibly do. I went down below, and that's not what you're not supposed to do if you had any. And what did I do? I went down and got sick at the table. Like an idiot.
The best thing you can do is keep your eyes on the horizon.
Of course pick it a is. Spot, pick yeah. a cloud, pick something, yeah. and yeah. think about something else. But if you take the Bonine or Dramamine or something,
I took
an
all
hour
of that.
Before you go out.
Doug Buffon and I used to share it. We used to put the wristbands on and then trade all that stuff around, and both of us would still get sicker in hell.
Well, the 773 texter says, Terry, watch the Bears with a book on your head. I know there's some severe weather in the area, and I'm sure we've copies of the score of a lifetime, actually, they do. And I know it says on the inside that they do function to protect your head if there is a tornado around.
I'm glad Ed Kern's not mad anymore.
He's not?
I see. No.
Okay.
No, apparently not. It's okay now.
I didn't know he was mad.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. They told us to stop making
fun. Stop doing that.
That's the worst thing you could say.
What?
Yeah, please don't tell me to stop doing it. The man is at halftime at a Bears game. They got stopped by the weather saying, put a book on your head. What do you want me to do?
You can protect your head with a heavy book.
You have a book at home?
And then they told us, and we probably spent 2 hours making fun of just that. And then somebody, was it Gleason or somebody? Somebody got a call.
CBS called.
And they said, hey, they work very hard in that weather office. And they're some very, very
so it's very difficult to keep that book balance on your head for all day long.
And Terry says something like, I don't care how hard they work. He said to put a book in your damn head.
Well, that's true. But apparently now it's okay. If you want to put that book back on your head, if you head out today, it's okay.
Okay.
He gets it now.
I brought mine. I'm fully equipped. I have the hymnal right in front of me today as we look at page 183 and examine the 80s during
the
3 o'clock hour.
We're going to examine the 80s. Okay. Yeah. All right. I'll state my case. I'll state my case for the 80s.
For the decade of the
80s? The decade
80s?
Of the
80s. Decade,
when
he
was cutting his teeth, which even though it started in the mid-70s, for the Lansing Sun-Journal, when he was penning Terry's Turf, I used to wrap that
awful,
Saturday morning paper and read Terry Bores while watching H.R. Puffin stuff, getting ready to go on my Sun-Journal route.
Where do you go when things get rough?
Yeah, there you have it. Who's your friend when things
Who's your friend when things get rough? With Witchy Poo? And...
Witchy Poo was in the show, yeah. And there were all kinds of like animated trees. Ooh. It was very trippy.
Yeah, it was Sid and Marty Croft.
I think that's it.
And then they went on to make the show Lidsville with the giant talking hats. Moderated by Charles Nelson Reilly.
I thought that's who it was, right? Charles.
Yes.
Liddyville. Yeah. But Terry contends the 80s, when he was really starting in Detroit, as the finest decade in sports history.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start to plow through some of the events of the 80s, it's not hard to figure out why you feel that way.
And the 80s came up today, so I should bounce this off of you. With this iteration of the Bulls and what they're doing, seemingly adding guys that can score,
mm-hmm.
and figuring out it out along the way, I was reminiscing about my favorite childhood or young adulthood Bulls team. And it was the 85-86 Bulls. It was the year that Jordan broke his foot. And they ended up, remember, they're bad. They were 30-52, but they ended up squeaking into the playoffs.
Yeah.
And that was the year they were swept 3-0 by the Celtics, and Jordan had the 63-point game.
Yeah, where he goes up and everybody else goes up with him, the three biggest, three Hall of Famers, mm-hmm. and they all coming down, and Jordan is still up.
And we were looking at some of these game by games, and it was mm-hmm. one of these years where any number of guys on their team could have their night. And that's what this Bulls team is kind of like, because here was everybody that played for the 85-86 Bulls, and you remember how many of these guys had a 30-point game or 40-point game. Gene Banks, Ron Brewer, Tony Brown, Dave Corzine, Quinton Daly.
My guy.
George Gervin, Sidney Green, Rod Higgins, Michael Holton, Michael Jordan, Kyle Macy, Billy McKinney, Charles Oakley, Juwan Oldham, John Paxson, Mike Smrek, Orlando Woolridge. That team.
My people.
Yeah, the ecumenical council in session right there.
But any night. I mean, and look, Gervin could get you a 40.
Gervin had 145 night.
If Quentin Daly's mind would have been right, who knows how far he could have gone.
Well,
how great he could have
been.
Yeah,
he just kind of didn't think that when you come out of alcohol rehab, you shouldn't have a drink. I mean, I don't know what kind of rehab that was. Let's not blame it on Demon Rum.
If it wasn't tied down, he was ingesting it, right?
He comes out of rehab and he buys us all a drink and he's sitting there drinking. I said, Quentin, is that part of the therapy? He said,
I'm cured. Praise God.
Yeah, you're atoning for past sins.
Right. Okay. I mean, he had a lot of issues, as we know. But, that team without Michael, when he broke his foot, we go to Golden State. Now Golden State's the hottest place in the world to go watch a basketball game, right? They had sold the arena out that night because thought that Jordan was going to be there. Oh. They spent the entire night, about half of them showed up booing because he wasn't playing. I mean, it was
It's not his fault, dude.
I mean, what do you want them to do? They all were just going crazy. I'd never seen San Francisco like so misbehaved. They're nuts.
Yar.
Thank you. And I had to get it at least once. And I'm sitting there thinking, and I said to him, What do you think of that? He goes, I don't know. I really don't know. But they were so mad that he didn't play. And they bought tickets. Now you can't get a ticket to there. Now you can't get one.
Oh, not forever. I mean, they're sold out for the foreseeable future.
Well, that had been their first sellout in like 4 or 5 years.
Wow.
And he didn't play because he couldn't.
And that was Stan Albeck, coach, right? Albeck was coach
first
of
year,
team.
Yes. Jordan's so. First year,
yeah. No, Jordan's this no, wasn't Jordan. His first year.
Lockery was his
no,
first
year. Oh,
right. Oh, yeah, Lockery. Right.
Lockery.
Hey, Terry. His nickname was Murph.
Murph, yeah.
I don't know how they came up with Murph as a name. Oh, I didn't even think about that. I like your anger.
Will he come up today, you suppose, Murph?
Probably.
There is a chapter.
Because really.
Yes, there is.
Because really, he should have hated you.
Thank you.
That's right.
He should have hated you,
yes,
not me.
Yes, he should have hated me more than you. I don't know why that happened the way it did,
lovable.
But you took the blade to him for a good 18 pages or so. My disappointment was there weren't more targets. Yeah. I wanted more guys carved up like that in here.
Well, how do you know there won't be a second one there where they're
really? Well, maybe that's the thing you're going to do before the thing you're going to do. I don't know. That might be the other thing.
I got other things.
I'd like to see the chapter on Sid Hartman. I mean, there's any number of people.
Sid Hartman. What an asswipe.
There you go.
Yeah,
I got a lot. He might still outlive you.
You know, he might.
Man, he's going to be 124.
And I didn't get to Kirk Gibson either in this book. I mean, Gibson who came across a room to come after me in the spring training game. And I was talking to Lance Parrish. And the only thing that saved me was Lance Parrish because he was coming across to get me. And I have no idea why to this day. It's like Murph.
You don't know why Kirk Gibson was mad?
I had no idea.
Then Kirk Gibson went in and flushed all the urinals so he didn't have to hear you.
It's about what he did, yeah. He's just – so, yeah, there's a lot of things that I haven't gotten to. But I can't say for sure that I will. But you're the guy. That's it's like the most misplaced anger of all time. That's you and Judd Surratt. That's you.
And
Rusty Scupper, yeah, too, yeah. I might add.
It's remarkable Judd Surratt and I got through 2 years or so together without one of us taking a swing at the other, isn't it?
Yeah, that's some volatile personality.
Yeah, you two were. Especially back when. Yeah. Yeah.
Even though when he left, didn't you stand
up? But Judd and I actually had to break up a fight Terry almost had, as I think about it, with Tommy Williams. Don't you talk that way to me, partner.
I know.
Yeah, Judd and I had to get between them.
I never really saw Tommy Williams angry.
Terry made him angry.
What did you do?
He made him angry. Do you remember?
I don't remember.
I don't remember really? What it was either. I just remember the shotgun Judd in my faces when we have to get between you two. Everybody had their money on Judd and me.
That's a heavyweight fight, too. You in the day against Tommy Williams. Especially in those small brick hallways, like fighting on a submarine.
Well, we were in Gleason's office.
Really,
we didn't have that much room.
Gleason, that's to say, but no more Gleason mentions that. Shot.
That's another shot. See what I mean? I drew all the, and it's him. I'm going to spend you 5 hours telling you why it's him. It's him. It's not me. What's it going to be?
Are you guys having guests, or are you just going to have fun?
We're going to have Len Kasper on for his regular 3 o'clock Monday visit as the Cubs find themselves in first place. As you said earlier, you blink and they're in first place.
Five games up in the loss column. It's taken them four weeks
to get there, Dan. They've been looking at the Brewers. They've been nipping at their heels for a month. Finally, they got them. That's more than a blink.
I'm no racing expert, although I did win the go-kart race over the weekend. I was great. Oh, I held those lines.
It's tough competition up there in Hayward, too.
I held those lines at the Hayward go-karts, man.
It's all those 9-year-olds who are just, they've been racing for an hour already.
But it's like you're drafting that lead car, and then you just wait for the move, and boom, and right by. That's what it looked like.
That's how you do it. You slingshot them.
That's the word I used.
That's how you do it.
The word I used, the actual verb was slingshot.
They think they got you. They think they ain't got you. Believe me,
Len joins us at 3. The aforementioned Matt Fishman will be on the show today.
Hey, Dan and Tommy. You guys doing this? I'm producing the show.
My forever memory of Matt Fishman would be in La Crosse, Wisconsin, 20 years ago this month, as a matter of fact. The Bears and Saints were training there. I don't know if you made the trip,
Bernsie. I didn't make that trip. I was in Platteville when the Saints came to play the Bears afterward, and that's when Rick Venturi collapsed on the practice field, remember? And like the doctors ran over to him, and I said, "What's going on?" He said, "The doctors asked him what he had for breakfast, and he said, 3 cups of coffee and a pack of cigarettes."
That'll do it. That'll do it. So,
breakfast of champions.
Jiggets and North, they had to go to La Crosse. The Saints and Ditka were going to be there, so they had to talk to the coach. And I remember Fishman. The last day we were there, it was 150 degrees. Driving up and down the sideline, it was like watching the Ducks at the arcade, you know, with an empty golf cart. He's trying to find a guess. We just watched him for four hours go back
and
forth.
It's like the shooting thing. You know, when he turned to go the other way, then he shoot me, goes the other way, shoot me, goes the other way, shoot me. That's what he was doing. I remember.
Never found a guess.
Never bought anybody.
Did you end up at the Red Lantern in downtown La Crosse?
We went to some restaurant called Piggy's. That was actually fabulous.
It was good.
The Red Lantern is the quarter pony drafts, because it's the Heilman and whatever's rolling off the hills there from they collect it and resell it for whatever it is, or like maybe they get kegs that they're not going to wholesale, and it's
you couldn't get
free
enough
beer
for me in the days I had to spend with Ditka.
Piggy's was kind of awesome though. The wine list was staggeringly good, and I remember betting the Cubs that night. They were -142 against the Diamondbacks, and Omar Dahl threw the first shutout in Arizona Diamondbacks history against me that night.
Against you?
Against me? Right. It was all.
That's how he remembers it too.
$142.
Oh, my God.
And Danny Plisak will join us today from MLB Network as well. So we'll talk with him. And then we've got some, you know, we're going to do a mix of old and new throughout the course of the week. On Wednesday, we're going to be in the performance studio across the hall and down the way. And Dave Wonstadt's going to stop by with us, you know.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Michael Thompson. How the hell do you not get 74 balls and he can't get one touchdown?
Barnsey. Jim Flanagan's a $5 million tackle.
Dave, that's because you paid him that. I was trying to explain, it doesn't mean that he's good.
I look forward to visiting with him. We always had fun with him.
Yeah, Dan Patrick will be on Wednesday as well. Yeah. And Coombe is coming on. Dan Patrick. I don't know if I mentioned him. Mm-hmm. So,
all our people that we can still find to be alive. That's the tricky part.
Yeah.
We're looking for others. I'm not sure. According to the Google machine, some of them are alive. I'm not sure they are, but we still might try before the week's out.
Alive is good. I suggest alive, going for that.
It's a good get.
It helps.
If not, we can make up for radio silence. I've done for years.
Sounds awesome. Heartwarming to hear your voice and to see you in good spirits and in fine fettle. And we'll be listening.
I'm good. Thank you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.